Ja, gute Woche. Let's turn our focus at this point toward Rosh Hashanah itself. We were talking about Elul in a general way, in the broader perspective. And as we discussed, we might say that there are two layers to Elul. There's the obviously both are focused on the same thing, both are focused on moving toward the Yom HaNeroim. But there's one layer of, okay, what changes do we need to be making in our lives in general? And then there's the layer of focusing more directly on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, the Yom HaNeroim coming up, in terms of actually preparing ourselves for the experiences of these great days. Rosh Hashanah, what comes to mind when we say the word Rosh Hashanah? So a number of different things. Malchus, Din, etc. Let's try to bring it all together. Let's try to bring it all together. When we're talking about, I think we actually mentioned this, that when we're talking about improving, doing tshuva, moving toward Rosh Hashanah, essentially what we're doing is it's the realization. As we said before, Hashem alerts us to this process. Hashem alerts us to this process. Hashem is basically sending out a notification. Rabbosai, this existence is coming to its end, and now there's a sign up for a new existence. There's going to be a new world. We say Hayom Haras Olam. Rosh Hashanah is the day that Hashem is crowned as king. Well, who was the king the day before? Answer is there was no day before. It's a new world. The world is being recreated anew. This year ends, and then a new existence begins. Hashem is implementing a new world. And this is the idea of, first of all, Malchus Hashem. There's a new world. The first thing we do is coronate Hashem as king. Hashem takes his place in that new world as king. And what we're trying to do is present ourselves in a way that what place are we going to be given in that world? What are we going to be equipped with? That's all going to be based on where Hashem sees us fitting into his great plan. That's the what we'll call the din aspect of this new world. And as we said before, Hashem considers us his most desirable players in that new world. And that's why he is Kiviyachol out there helping us make it work. So now I want to step back, and in this context, if we understand that, try to address two points. The concept of din. I want to try to approach a fresh appreciation of the concept of din. Whenever we hear the word din, whenever we hear the word din, it has like the negative sound to it, right? There's the rachamim and there's the din. But the Mefarshim, the Maharal, and others say something very, very profound. It's worthwhile knowing. Rosh Hashanah is the Yom of Din. We have to realize that. Yom Kippur is a day of pure rachamim. You look at the two, it looks like Rosh Hashanah is the festive day, good foods, honey, apples and honey. Yom Kippur is a scary day. But actually, it's the other way around. Yom Kippur is a day of pure rachamim, pure love. And all the things we do on Yom Kippur is in order to really squeeze everything out of it. That's the idea of what we're doing then. We're not discussing that right now, but Rosh Hashanah is a day of din. It's a Yom HaDin, a scary day. And maybe we'll get to the understanding, the celebration of Rosh Hashanah. I'm sure we've discussed it other times. Maybe we'll get to that. But right now, I just want to talk about the essence of din. What is din? So both the Ramban and the Maharal say something very profound. And I'll stop by throwing out something of a little bit of a riddle. I can't explain what the following means, but this is what the Ramban says. The Ramban says that Tkiah is Rachamim, Truah is Din. Why? Don't ask me, but that's what the Ramban lays down. And he says, so just put it out in an abstract way, which in an abstract and puzzling way, and then we'll take a step back and really try to get to where we want to get. He says, Yen Truah, by us blowing the Truah, Hashem tells us, blow a Truah, We are actually implementing the din. Trua causes din, trua triggers din. And not only are we told to do it, but that's given the main focus. Meaning we have the tkiyas also. But the tkiyas are kind of like every day, the Torah calls it a yom trua, a day of trua, and it's accompanied by a tkiyah before and afterwards. But the day is a day of trua. And what we're doing is basically, the Ramban says, we are summoning the din. So let's appreciate what din is. And then appreciate a little bit more of what's actually happening. So here's how the Ramban more concisely, the Maral a little bit more elaborately says, a din shouldn't be understood as negative. What din is when Hashem zooms in. Now there's an aspect to that that could be scary. Din means that we call it in Hebrew what we say hityachsut mimukedet, like focus. Hashem mamish zooms in, meaning as follows. I use two of the following mashals. You know what happens in those cartoons, if someone runs off a cliff,
Yeah.
what does it look like? Yeah, you run straight in a vertical line. You don't fall down when you get to the other. He runs into the air about a good few feet, right? And then his feet start going like this, and he drops straight down. That's how it works. But he continues running on the air for some time, right? That's if we'll put it in frame it in a cartoon kind of way. But what does that look like in real life? Real life, it's a little less of a pleasant scene. But what happens if you have a car, speeding on the side of a mountain, going a little too fast, and goes right through the guardrail? Where does the car go? Car goes up into the air. It doesn't go down, right? It goes up, especially if it's speeding and flying. Kind of high, it goes up. So the super, very superficial eye doesn't yet know much about gravity, might look and say, well, the guy got away with it. Look, didn't fall. He's going up. But to anybody who understands what's actually going on, when do you say the tragedy happened? Well, initially it was fine. It was going up. Afterwards, all of a sudden, went down. Or do you say the tragedy happened when he crashed through the guardrail? Right? When did that person kill himself? It wasn't that, well, crashing the guardrail actually did work out fine, but later something changed. He's flying through the air, but flying through the air, there is absolutely no way to go. Flying through the air is an inevitable drop. So the way we'll say it is like this. If Hashem expects a certain reality, that's all there is. There is no other reality. We'll put it this way. If a person steps out of Hashem's line, there's no such thing as stepping out of Hashem's line. What do you mean? People have. People are standing right now outside of Hashem's line. What's the answer to that? Answer to that is that it's mamish like the cartoon guy who ran off the cliff or the guy who rode through the guardrail. Except that the momentum of Olam Hazeh can continue for a few decades. But that's actually what it is. There is no place for existence outside of Hashem's will. And din means, now, so how could the person exist? Because in Olam Hazeh, Hashem might sometimes distance himself in a way that kind of leaves things a little loose and hazy, right? And therefore, there's the person is outside the line and reality hasn't yet asserted itself. But it's not really reality. There isn't makom for that. What is din? Din simply means that Hashem draws close up, very close. When he draws close up, then his reality asserts itself. His reality asserts itself. And anybody who is not within that reality isn't.
I thought that Hashem could be deciding, we learned in Havas Havavos, that that person should get their just rewards in the next world. So he might be entirely focused on them and saying, I'd rather have them have a wonderful life here and really get paid back in the next world. Is that
That
true?
is a part of the system. And that's all a part of the fact that at the end of the day in Olam Hazeh, the din is not absolute. There'll always be rachamim mixed in with the din, etc. When we say that Rosh Hashanah is a yom hadin, we don't mean absolute. We mean that there's a stress on the din. Okay. But yes, there are always other factors involved, and it's a much more complex picture. Right now, I'm laying things down in the conceptual level in a stark kind of way. There's actually a pasuk in Tehillim that says it in a very fascinating kind of way. Yedei Hashem derech tzadikim, v'derech rishayim tovei. I believe it's the last pasuk in the first parak. Yedei Hashem derech tzadikim, v'derech rishayim tovei. Hashem knows the way of the tzadikim, and the way of the rishayim goes lost. What does that mean? It's exactly what we're saying now. Hashem only recognizes a certain derech. If Hashem doesn't recognize another derech, it means that it isn't. So again, you see tzaddikim that are, you see rishayim that seem to be on a pretty solid derech, but they're like that guy who's speeding, still kept being carried by momentum through the guardrail. He's flying high. He's doing fine. He's enjoying the moment. What do I want with all this? Now, again, there's a lot of complexity, and maybe we'll touch on some of it, maybe we won't. But where I want to go with all of this is as follows. Din, once we understand that din in essence means Hashem drawing up very close, zooming in, and so to speak, saying, throughout the year, I let go, kind of give people the leeway to make their own decisions, but now I'm pulling it back or zooming in. So how does his nation respond to that? How does his nation respond to that concept? So there are two ways you can respond to it. You can either say, that's scary, I don't want you to zoom in. What Hashem is saying, let me give you a better etzah. Instead of saying that, turn to me and say, you're going to zoom in? You're going to draw much closer to that world? We want that. It's scary. We want it anyways. We want you zoomed in on your world, super focused. We want that because we want a world that you're closer to. What about the scary? Okay, we're gonna have to deal with that. We're gonna have to get very busy fixing things up. But in essence, what we're saying is, these are the famous words, and the Rambam puts this down in his Pirush HaMishnayos. The Rambam says it like this. He says, Rosh Hashanah, when he explains why we don't daven Hallel, he says, because there are days of, I'm not sure if I'm remembering exactly the Lashon, of Pachad V'Avoda U'manos Eilav. Those are very significant words. There are days of fear, awe, and Avoda, and fleeing toward him. And then we have one of the Yotzes. It says, Mimcha Eilecha Evrach. If you want to run away from Hashem's wrath, where do you escape to? You run toward him. That's right. It's the only place you have to run away from Hashem from, right? Where else can you run? Right? Like David HaMelech said, in Masak Shomayim, so I can get up to run out to outer space, you'll be there waiting for me. Go down all the way down to the depths, to the grave, you'll be waiting for me there too. The only way to escape, the only place to escape Hashem's wrath is by running toward him. And this is bad, what the Ramban is saying. The Torah says, Yoim Tro Yelochem. Instead of waiting to be dragged into the din, what we do is we turn around and say, Hashem, we want you to zoom in. We're embracing your din. We're embracing your reclaiming your world. You're zooming in. We're embracing that. We want that. And not only that, we're actually going to activate it. We're going to activate it with our Truah. We're going to blow the Truah, which will have that effect because that's what we want. And we want to have to push ourselves to the task of having to make it work. We're going to dedicate ourselves to tshuva. But number one is, yes, we want that world. We want a world that you're closer to. We want a world that you are zoomed in on. And we want to put ourselves to the task of having to live up to that. This is our declaration to Hashem. Question.
It almost seems cruel because we were trying really hard to do Hashem's will. We know that we have brothers and sisters who are either completely ignorant, which we're probably, have tremendous mercy, but there's also the rebels. And we're like causing them to go into focus. It's almost like, well, like our children, let's say you have a child who's off the derech. Are you, should you be davening Hashem, don't focus on that child? Right. What should you be doing?
Okay, these are painful questions. What we can say is, just to, we can probably, there are probably deeper layers to this, but if we just want to address it in a head-on kind of way, throw that into your tefillahs. Throw that into your tefillahs. When we talk about Hashem setting up his world, right, we talk about every year there's also a shefa of tshuva, a shefa of siyata deshmaya to tshuva. This also can be part of the din. The din can take different forms. It can take a form of cutting down, and whoever's not in it gets just snipped out of the picture, or it can take the form of everyone has to be within my lines. I'm going to pull people closer, right? So put that into your tefillahs. Put that into your tefillahs. There's a lot to daven for, as perhaps we'll discuss today, perhaps not. Rosh Hashanah, the main focus is not on the things we're davening for. It's more on the focus of moving back into that world of Hashem Melech. But this is exactly what the weeks leading up to Rosh Hashanah are for, and this is what the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah for. And Rosh Hashanah also, I'll say when you actually look at the Zohar, you see that if your primary focus is Hashem Melech and making yourself compatible to that in Teshuvah, then you can insert the Bakashas also. The famous criticism from the Zohar, right? Everyone's familiar with that famous Zohar that says that people come like dogs barking, hav hav, hav in Aramaic is give. So it also sounds like a dog barking. They bark, hav hav. You come on Rosh Hashanah with a wish list. Oh, Hashem, you're here. Here's my list of, here are my orders. So since it has a counter effect. But the whole point of it is that when you're completely missing the boat, you're not getting what the day is about. You're Malchus Shamayim, you're not relating to. Tshuva, you're not relating to. But here's my wish list. That is kviyachol a turn off klapei malo, right? But when you're coming with that submission and you're offering up your tefillahs to Hashem, as in, I know that you're reclaiming this world. I'm very much experiencing that, and I'm offering up my tefillahs. Then you can do that. It has to be in that context, but where the main focus, the main stress is moving into that world of Hashem Melech. But that said, we have the days leading up to Rosh Hashanah. We have the days of Slichas. That's exactly what they're for. Those are the days to be focused on what do I want? What kvitloch do I want to insert when the day, when the Yom HaDin actually comes? Now's the time to do that. Certainly once the Slichas start. Okay, now, and this is what makes us beloved to Hashem. This is what makes us beloved to Hashem. The fact that we're saying that with everything said and done, we're not running away from it, but on the contrary, we want the system to be tightened, and we want to dedicate ourselves to living up to it. That's our statement to Hashem. And this takes us to the next stage of the discussion. This takes us to the next stage of the discussion, right? The famous question of that is often discussed. Why are we not busy with tshuva on Rosh Hashanah? Pikuach nefesh. It almost looks like, you know, Rosh Hashanah is the day when it's actually inscribed, and then you have a chance afterwards to change it. Right? If Chas v'Shalom was a bad one, this is Hashem. For all of us, it will be a good one. On the first day of Rosh Hashanah, we'll be nichtam lechayim tovim va'arukim. But what's the idea of the Aseres Yemei Teshuva? That's when they have a chance to make adjustments. So we get busy with tshuva, but on Rosh Hashanah itself, we're not busy with tshuva. Why not? Pikuach nefesh. That should be. We should be busy with the Al Chetz then. But what's the answer? The answer. We came close to it and everything we've been discussing. But the answer really is that if we understand the essence of Rosh Hashanah, we understand that that is the essence of tshuva. That's the source of all the tshuva. That's the framework for all the tshuva. If we don't want the tshuva to just be details. We want the tshuva to begin with, we put ourselves back into the right place. Hashem Melech is the reality that should be permeating every fiber of our being, right? Living in a world of Hashem, living in a world where it's only me and Hashem, and everything else is about that. Right now, you did this wrong, you did this wrong, you did that wrong, you need to fix up those things. Okay, why did you do those things wrong? because your focus shifted and you got distracted and things got hazy and foggy and you weren't holding on to that conscientiousness. So what are you doing on Rosh Hashanah? On Rosh Hashanah, you're saying that's right, my focus drifted, etc. What I'm doing now is I'm moving myself back into that world of Hashem Melech. And then I'm going to go ahead. Okay, if I'm back in that world of Hashem Melech, if I'm back in that world of Hashem Melech, then I can then go ahead and work on the details. Taka Hashem Melech, so what does that require me to do? But the main point is that we are moving ourselves back into that world of Hashem Melech, willingly embracing that. We're not looking to go in a direction where we say, Hashem, we want your Hashgacha to be that much looser so that I don't have to be held to too tight of a line. No. We tell Hashem, we want to be living up to the world you envision. And that's why we want a world where you are focused, and we want to require ourselves to live up to that. Okay. And this takes us to the next level of the discussion. And the next level of the discussion will be, trying to think for a minute because this might make sense to say for next week. No, you know what? This is a natural flow. Let's continue now. What we'll do next week, we'll figure that out. Maybe we'll talk about Hanukkah. But but this brings us to the next stage of the discussion. Why do we celebrate Rosh Hashanah? Again, we say Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaDin. What makes it into a Yom Tov? Right? Put on Yom Tov clothing, we sit down for Sudas. What's the idea? The idea is that we are muvtach, right? We're showing our trust that we are going to be, we'll be given a good mishpat. Okay, but still, to come all celebratory. But you know what? Here's really where we take everything we've been discussing to the great next level. And that is, that if we understand that the essence of Din is Hashem reclaiming his world, and we understand that that is part and parcel of the coronation aspect, right? Hashem is being crowned as king, and therefore he's setting up his world according to his agenda. So now let's take it to the next level. Who celebrates at the coronation of the king? Who celebrates? Not mostly, of course, there's a very grand ceremony and everybody pastes smiles on their faces, otherwise you're in trouble. But who's really celebrating? Everyone's apprehensive. Where is this going? What's going to be? Many people are scared, but his close family is celebrating. His close family is celebrating. And we get together on Rosh Hashanah, coming back from the context of Hashem is saying, I'm reclaiming my world. But Hashem is actually telling us, don't wait for me to do it. You come toward me, right? Yom Teruah Yelochem. And I forgot to add what the Ramban says, like we said before from the Ramban. Yom Teruah, by inviting the Din, you're making a statement to Hashem. We want to be living in this reality. And that's what makes Hashem relate favorably to you. If you want it, I'm going to help you make it work. I'm going to help you make it work with my high standards. I'm going to help you make it work. And the Ramban says, Yom Teruah Yelochem, make it a Yom Teruah. Don't be scared about inviting the Din. Don't be scared about embracing the Din. Yelochem, if you can get yourself to do that, Yelochem, it'll be for your benefit. It'll be for your benefit. That is what will move you into the place that Hashem is trying to move you toward. And that's what will actually get you that favorable. That declaration of loyalty, that declaration of intent is what is going to move you into that place. So we take it to the next level of saying not only that, but we're actually celebrating it. We are the family. For us, the fact that Hashem is taking the throne, the fact that Hashem is taking the throne, for me is a cause for celebration. If I know that that's the world I'm moving into, my father is taking the throne. And this is the Simcha of Rosh Hashanah. That's the Simcha of Rosh Hashanah. And so Hashem is inviting us, not only inviting us to set things up favorably, but Hashem is saying, this is my day, Kiryachol. This is the day of my coronation. I'm going to be taking the throne and I want you celebrating with me. And yes, in Shamayim, there's going to be an unbelievable commotion. Yismechu HaShamayim. Remember when I was a young and pious bacher, and I was really getting into the spirit of the Yom Narayim. And I remember like very overwhelmed. And I asked my grandfather, Zecheinu Levracha, who was the Rav of Be'er Yaakov. I asked him basically this question: why are we happy today? It's a scary day. So he told me, he didn't really answer the question. He just told me, look at the pasuk that you say every day in Hoyt. Yismechu haShamayim, Yisrogei lo'aretz, is a whole description of a whole commotion of celebration. Shamayim are rejoicing. Picture the heavens rejoicing, okay? The world, the earth is excited. All the seas are applauding. All the fields are excitedly celebrating. All the trees of the forests are also expressing their excitement. Why? Because Hashem is coming to implement his judgment. So you see that in the more connected realities, in the Shamayim, et cetera, it's an unbelievable commotion. It's the celebration of the coronation. Can you imagine the grandeur, the magnificence of what a coronation looks like in Shamayim? And Hashem is saying, you are my close children. You're the people really closest to me. You're the ones really closest to me. And I sent you for a mission, a long-term mission to earth, where you're not privy and you're not exposed to the unbelievable celebration, to the grandeur that's happening in Shemayim. But I want you to be, to have those satellites, right? The embassies in the different countries are having, they're having their celebrations when the king is taking the throne, right? Whatever of his different satellites or embassies that he has. This is your home, your shul. I want you to be a part of the celebration that's taking place in Shemayim. I want you to be stepping out of earth now for these 2 days. And that's like we were saying before, that's really the source of the root of all the tshuva. Step out of earth for these 2 days. Come back to me, to the Shemayim, to the place where you came from. When you sit down at your Suda, at the Yom Tov Suda, you're sitting down, Kaviyachol, to celebrate his coronation together with him. And when we're in shul and we're saying all the piyutim that are describing the shira of the malachim, right? Adir ayuma yadiru, right? These mind-boggling sights. And like you read these things and you read the translation and how you're supposed to connect with it, or what's it supposed to mean to you. But that's what's happening is that Hashem is saying, I have all this going on in Shemayim, and I want you to be joining it from down here. Be with all the malachim. Right? I have my Earth is Be'etzem, a place where kind of detached from my full glory. But I have my pockets where they are mamish, a part of the whole celebration, a part of the commotion. That's where we are. That's what we're celebrating. And we're celebrating the very fact that Hashem is telling us, you are my most important players in that world that I'm creating. I'm creating a new world, and you are the purpose. You are the, yeah, there's a din. But the point of the din is that Hashem wants a certain world. And when he's describing the world that he wants, the foremost players that he wants are me and you. It's Am Karoyvoy, his close people. This is the cause for celebration on Rosh Hashanah. We're taking it that next step further. And then we circle back by saying that ultimately all this, if we're not only willing and embracing, but actually celebrating the fact that Hashem is taking the throne, celebrating the fact that this is going to be a world run by Hashem. If we're actually celebrating that, then it circles back to that actually is your key to a favorable judgment. That is actually your key to safety. And this is the pasuk. This is the pasuk in Nehemiah. I'll end like this. There was a bacher in the yeshiva in Be'er Yaakov, who apparently got very, very much into the spirit of the pachad of Rosh Hashanah, of the fear of the pachad adin. And it got to a point, so we have to be careful of this when we're dealing with ourselves or dealing with young people or whatever it is, or that it shouldn't go in the wrong direction. But he just became paralyzed. I mean, he found himself just like in his bed, scared. Rosh Hashanah is approaching, and he's just paralyzed. So Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Shmuel Shapira. I don't know if any of you are familiar with the name or with the profile. One of the old Litvish Rosh Yeshivas who lived probably about 10, 15 years ago. He was very musical. He was very musical. He used to, like, nigunim would get composed automatically while he was learning. And Shlomo Volbe, who was the Mashgiach there, used to say that the nigunim that Rabbi Shmuel sings while he's learning Gemara, these are nigunim that are coming from Sinai. So Rabbi Shmuel went into this boy's room to try to give him a lift. Started talking to him and encouraging him, and wasn't really having the desired effect. And then what he simply did was he sat down like on the bed opposite him and simply started singing on the spot a pasuk from Nehemiah, which describes the following. Because when Ezra and Nehemiah came back to, when they came back to Eretz Yisrael, right, after Golus Bavel, what had happened? All of the cream of the crop had been carried off. Who was left in Eretz Yisrael when they, after the Churban Bayis region? The very low folks, the lowest level. That was part of the idea. They wanted to completely drain Eretz Yisrael, but they wanted to have people there maintaining the agriculture. So it was the lowest stratum. So when they came back toward the Binyan Bayis Sheni, they found things there in a terrible state. They found that many of the people there had married non-Jews, and things were a terrible mess. And they really went about trying to set things right. So they inspired the people and they admonished them. And then when Rosh Hashanah came, the people understood what a bad state they were in. The whole nation were crying. They were busy weeping. So here, that was Ezra and Nehemiah who came and said to them, no, 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 no. The lashon of the pasuk is, lechu ichlu mashmanim v'shusum amtakim. Go, eat delicacies, and drink sweet drinks. V'shulchu mano islein nochon loy, and send food over to people who don't have good meals. Meaning, make sure everybody is feasting. Ki kodesh hayom adoneinu. Because this is a day that's kodesh to Hashem. Don't be down. These are the key words. Your rejoicing with Hashem is your shelter. That is where you're going to find that safety. This is exactly the point that we've been discussing now. If for you, the prospect of, I may have drifted, I may have got myself into uncomfortable places, into scary places, but the prospect of moving right back in, of throwing myself back at Hashem, saying, I know it's a mess, but I am welcoming your judgment, and I'm welcoming your focus, and I'm going to do everything I can to live up to it. If that is a cause for celebration for you, and like we said before, Hashem's coronation, if you're celebrating it with that sense of, this is the world I want to live in, and that is itself ma'uzchem, that is your safety, that's your shelter, that's the place to run to in the Yom Hadin in the hope of a favorable judgment. And this is something that Hashem is making available to all of us. And that's why Taka, we're told that we have the Havtacha. We can rely on getting a favorable judgment if we can connect to it in this way. Bezos Hashem, let's be Zoyche Lekach. There's a question here. How is this recreation of the world different from the recreation that Hashem does every moment? Okay, this is a good question. I'm not sure how to define the answer. All I could say is in a very general kind of way that when it comes to these things, there are different layers. We call it, the word that you'll hear used in Lashon Kodesh is bechinas, but I can't offer a proper answer to this question. I'm sorry? It's in the Drashas HaRamban for Rosh Hashanah. Now, it appears in the Chiddush HaRamban al Hashas. It's a long, it's like a booklet. It's called Drashas HaRamban. Bli Neder, if you want me to find that specific location, I'll bring up Bli Neder, try to pinpoint it. I'm sure that it's in Chiddush HaRamban al Hashas. It's in Chiddush HaRamban al Hashas. I believe. I'll try Bli Neder to make a PDF and send it. Yeah. Okay. Into you. Into you. Into you.